Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. And before we read from this chapter, I want to remind you of the challenge that I gave to those of you who were here on Thursday night. I realize that it's very difficult and maybe in some cases impossible for you to be at the services throughout the week. But I'm giving a challenge to all of you who do not usually attend the Tuesday night service to make a commitment before God that you will be here this Tuesday night and the other Tuesday nights of this month. We're taking some elementary doctrines of the Bible, Tuesday night Christian baptism, the following Tuesday night the Lord's Supper, and then the next two Tuesday nights of the month we will be thinking about the Lordship of Christ. Actually, as we are on Thursday nights, but on Thursday nights we are thinking more of the motivation factor. So would you make that commitment? Young people, I know some of you don't usually come on Tuesday night. You come, and we will hold the service to the time. If I go over a minute or two, you will understand, but no more than that, you come on Tuesday night. Romans chapter 5, at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And maybe your Bible has a marginal reference beside the word atonement and shows that it is actually reconciliation. In and through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have now received the reconciliation. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17, therefore, if any man, this is a generic word, it means any one of mankind, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he, she is a new creature, a new creation, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You might want to put a marker right here in Colossians chapter 1. I'll tell you why a little later. But put a marker here in Colossians chapter 1 so you can easily turn to it a little later. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, where we read about our Lord Jesus Christ, who having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We'll stop our reading right there. We believers rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary. The poet has written, "Nothing either great or small, nothing sinner, no, Jesus did it all long, long ago. When he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Hearken to his cry. Cast your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? We are not saved by our doing, by our being, by our striving. We are saved on the basis of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He finished the work the Father gave him to do, and when hanging upon that tree, he cried, 'It is finished.' And when a person calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and by faith receives him as Savior, that believer enters into the finished work of Christ and is counted by God complete in the Savior. Now there are four major aspects of the finished work of Christ set forth in New Testament doctrine. And these different aspects of the finished work of Christ are described by some rather large words. There is that word, propitiation. Propitiation. That is the Godward aspect of the death of Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon that cross, he accomplished something Godward that we will be learning about for all eternity. He propitiated God, if you please. He satisfied God in his judgment against the world concerning sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was constituted as a sin offering, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the word that describes the Godward aspect of the finished work of Christ is that word, propitiation. We find it a number of times in the New Testament. John says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So propitiation is the Godward aspect of the death of Christ. There is the word redemption. We have read it in Romans. Redemption is the sinward aspect of the death of Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he accomplished something so far as sin and its consequences are concerned. And when we receive Christ as Savior, we have the authority from the Word of God to say that we are redeemed from sin and its consequences. There is the word justification. That is the record aspect of the death of Christ. And by that, I mean this. God keeps records. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God now counts us in Christ, as we read in Colossians chapter 1, as being holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in Christ. God looks down into us with His X-ray vision, and this is the thinking of the wording there, in His sight. Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. He has X-ray vision. And when God looks down into us in Christ, He sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the believer in Christ stands before God as being holy, as if he or she has never committed a sin. That's amazing. But that is justification. And that is the record aspect of his death. Then there is the word reconciliation. And we've read it several times tonight. And that is the manward aspect of the death of Christ. Because of his finished work at Calvary, everyone who trusts the Savior is reconciled to God. And I want us to think about reconciliation tonight. You know, if one of two persons who are friendly with each other were to commit some illegal act whereby his friend stands now at a loss, it is possible that the legal aspect of his wrongdoing, the legal aspect of his crime, can be dealt with in every way to satisfy the laws of jurisprudence without the two ever coming back together. Now, in and through the finished work of Christ, when we receive Him as Savior, not only are all of our sins, past, present, and future, dealt with, but we are reconciled to God. We are brought into the very presence of God, and that is what the wording means in Colossians chapter 1. As well as in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where we read about our Lord Jesus Christ, the just, dying for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. And so because of the finished work of Christ, when we receive Him and we call upon Him to be our Savior, every sin we've ever committed, or will ever commit, mind you, is dealt with. And we are reconciled to God. Oh, we might think it would be enough simply to be saved from a lost eternity. It would be enough for us to be saved from hell. No, no, not for God. He makes us His own and gives us a home in heaven, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. But man is out of harmony with God. Man, apart from Christ, does not conform to God's standards. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And man, by sinning, became a discordant note in God's universe. How can man and his sin be dealt with? We read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, in that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Those of you who are without Christ tonight need to be reconciled to God. We read in Genesis that God said, "Let us make man in our image." You know, that speaks of the Holy Trinity. I know some people deny that, but they do so ignorantly. They do so ignorantly. God said, and it's interesting, and you've heard me say many times, out of the approximately 2,700 times in the Old Testament, you have the word God. About 2,500 of those times, it's in the plural, signifying what? Remember, Hebrew differs with English in this regard. English, one is singular. To make it plural, you must have two or more. That's not the case in the Hebrew. In Hebrew, one is singular, two is dual. To make it plural, you must have three or more. Okay? God, Elohim, it's a plural noun. God said, "Let us make man in our image." To whom was God speaking? Those who deny the Holy Trinity would say he was speaking to the angels. Nonsense! The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 2 that the Son of God took upon him not the nature of angels. He took upon him human form. Are you with me? God could not have been speaking to the angels when he said, "Let us make man in our image," because Christ did not take upon him the nature of angels. God made man in his image and after his likeness, and that includes the fact that we are tripartite beings, consisting of body, soul, and spirit. When God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul, and God communicated something of himself that gave to his creature eternal existence. But when man plunged himself and all of his posterity into sin and under its consequences, man was separated from God spiritually, but still possessing eternal existence. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And this is the reason we warn people who have not received Christ. If you go out of this life, you will be separated from God, even though you possess eternal existence. God made man with a mind with which to think. And with his mind, man knows, he reasons. God made man with a heart, with emotions. And with his heart, he loves. He is stirred. God made man with a will. That is the power of choice, volition. And with this will, man moves, he decides, he acts. And when God made man his creature in his likeness, they were mind to mind and heart to heart and will to will. What unity! But man disobeyed God and plunged himself into sin and all of his posterity along with him. And man was separated from God, alienated from God. Man's mind now darkened so that he cannot know God. Man's emotions are degraded so he does not love God. And man's will deadened so that he does not obey God. We need a change. And it might interest you to know that this word reconciliation really means to change completely. That's what it means. Change completely. The one Greek word or the one Greek root has but one meaning, to change completely. Now keep in mind, God does not need to be reconciled to us. You've heard me say too, when we used to broadcast over a CBS affiliate station in Greensboro for many years, I would go into the station every Sunday morning. We did it live. And I would look at the clock, which was the Naval Observatory time. The clock was automatically adjusted to that. I guess now it would be adjusted to the atomic clock in Denver. And so I would look at the clock on the wall, and I would look at my watch, and invariably the two were not the same. Which one do you think I changed? I changed my watch. Listen, God is holy. God is just. And He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to be changed. We need to be transformed. Because we are sinners. We read in Romans chapter 5, we are without strength. We are ungodly. We are sinners. And as such, we are condemned. And so we do need to be changed, because we're not mind to mind and heart to heart and will to will with God. We need to be changed. And so in and through the finished work of Christ, we are reconciled to God. You see, my unsaved friend, there is absolutely no reason why you cannot and should not be reconciled to God tonight. There's no reason. Though you are out of harmony with God, God has removed every barrier for you to come to Him in faith and avail yourself of His salvation. We are spiritually dead, needing regeneration. Come to Christ. We are ignorant of God, needing illumination. Come to Christ. We are condemned by God, needing salvation. Come to Christ. We are guilty before God, needing justification. Come to Christ. We are alienated from God, needing reconciliation. You come to Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We were hearing in song, He's the highway. He's the only way. Come to Christ. Man's need for reconciliation. What about the foundation? On what basis can you come to Christ tonight? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's break in at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Now you think about that verse. If you're without Christ, you're without God, and you're without hope. But now, and that word, but, is the pivotal word. It changes the whole picture. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made
both, that is, Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That is the foundation for reconciliation. We read in Colossians chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of his cross to reconcile to himself all things. And we think, too, of the marvelous extent of reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of his cross, his shed blood, reconciles man to God. Referring back to 1 Peter 3:18, the Lord Jesus Christ brings us to God. And the wording in Colossians chapter 1 is he places us into the very presence of God, so that when God looks down into us with his X-ray vision, he sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. The extent of reconciliation, Christ reconciles the believer to God. Not only so, but we see from the tenor of Scripture and from Christian experience that the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles man to man. Now, this is stressed in Ephesians chapter 2. I have seen Jew and Arab rejoicing together in Christ. My background is Jewish. I wasn't reared in Judaism. But I have a number of Arab friends who are Christians. And it's wonderful to see Jew and Arab come together in Christ, whether it's Protestant, Irish Protestant, or Irish Catholic, when they receive Christ, they come together in Christ. It's wonderful to be at peace one with another in Christ. We are one in him. The Lord Jesus reconciles man to man. Hate is displaced by love. But then the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles man to himself. To himself. You know, when we are faced with this matter of receiving Christ, we have to do a lot of rethinking. We are made to realize my thinking is all wrong. I had thoughts about God, about the Bible, about hereafter, and my thoughts were all wrong. And I am reconciled to myself in that I read such scriptures as 2 Corinthians 5:14, where if Christ died for all, then we're all dead, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Christ, who died for them and rose again. And now as a new believer, I'm made to realize, now I am reconciled to God, and I'm reconciled to my enemies. Now whether or not they want to be reconciled to me is their problem. But I'm reconciled to myself. I realize I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm now God's purchased possession. I'm God's property. And I must move about in this life in whatever I do with the realization that I am the Lord's and I name His name. I'm reconciled to myself. And Christ reconciles man to duty. We're born into certain surroundings where we live for Satan. And then when we receive Christ, we have to take a stand. Whatever the work is, whatever the surroundings are, we have to have the realization that God, for whatever reasons, has left me here. He has placed me here, and I am to serve Him. Whatever I do, I am to live for Christ. It's not a matter of doing something for the Lord. I'm to do everything for it. And we are reconciled to God in and through Christ. Let me show you something in closing, dear friends. Very solemn indeed. I told you to put a marker in Colossians chapter 1. I want you to turn to that portion, but at the same time, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Only a couple of pages, but hold them up so that you can readily see two different portions without any difficulty. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Note this now. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look at Colossians chapter 1, but hold that place. Look at verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Christ having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What's left out here that we have in Philippians 2? Look back at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What's left out here that we have in Philippians 2? Say it. Things under the earth. What does that tell us? Well, it conveys to us this. That if you are going to be reconciled to God in and through Christ, it's going to be in this life. If you leave this life without Christ, you will bow the knee in a coming day and confess that He's Lord. But you won't be reconciled to Him. Do you see that? You'll bow the knee, but you won't be reconciled to it. He made peace by the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And if you're going to be saved, it has to be in this life. If you're going to be reconciled to God, it has to be in this life. And who knows, I would not use scare tactics, but this could be your last opportunity to come to Christ. Will you come to Him? And here again, you've heard me say, you might be thinking, well, how do you come to Christ? Well, suppose He were to walk into this auditorium right now and stand right here. Oh, you say, well, if He did that, I would come to Him, I'd bow before Him, and I would say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to receive You as my Savior. You do with your heart right now what you would do with your feet if He were standing here. You call upon Him, and you come to Christ. Let's turn to number 250 in the Redemption Songs. Number 250. We started our congregational singing by singing, Come Ye That Love the Lord. Now we sing, For you who are not saved, to come. He's waiting to receive you. Listen, dear friends, we're going to have you stand once again. There will be someone over in the office. And we beseech you. We beg you to settle this matter tonight. Allow us to help you further. It might not be necessary. Maybe even while I've been speaking, you've been speaking to the Lord from your heart. I want to be saved. As best I know how, I receive Christ right now as my Savior. And that's all you need to do. You don't have to talk to us. But my, we'd like to know about it. We want to get in on some of the rejoicing. But while we sing, maybe you would want to slip out of the auditorium and right over to the office room. Do it and settle this matter tonight. Let's stand and sing 250, Come Believing. And let's sing the first and the third stanzas. The first and third stanzas of 250.